You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Hello there, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is for you. Thanks for joining us for episode 2 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on Thursday, July 5th, 2012. I'm Taylor, I play a druid tank named Hoofit, where I raid with my guild, Horderlies. Today I'm joined by my partners in crime, Daryl, who plays a Resto Shamey, and the Housing Canadian. And our man of 1,000 alts, Rob, whose plethora of people primarily played as Hotpox, a DPS Death Knight. We're going to answer some listener emails today and some tweets in a bit regarding a few concerns and questions about paladins and preparing for 5-man heroics. And also, we got some basic boss fight mechanics that still seem to go ignored and why you should just do it. But before we get started, I've got to ask Hend, what is housing, and how did it go?
Housing went good. Housing is actually just camping, but since I camp in a trailer that I pull behind my vehicle, it's according to Hoofit, it's more of a house. So he coined the term housing. So now whenever I talk about it, that's what I named it. Luckily this weekend I had my house and not a tent while I was camping, as we had quite the thunderstorm roll through with some pretty good rain. And that's why I don't tent anymore and why I house. I'm too old for that nonsense.
Dude, this thing is a beast.
It's not. I actually have a lower end model. I don't even have a micro.
The lower end model that you can only park one vehicle in.
It doesn't have a microwave, is that what you
it
said?
It does not have
poor
a microwave.
Guy.
Oh,
no
geez.
Microwave, no TV.
You're roughing it, huh?
You betcha.
Oh, man. All right, well. Rob, how was...
So yesterday was July 4th for you guys. What is that all about? Isn't that something with Will Smith where he defeated some aliens or something? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, you know it, actually, we all get together and have some beverages and try and see how close we can come to blowing our fingers off.
Nice, so, very nice.
Yeah. Celebrate Will Smith saving the Earth. That's what July 4th is all about.
All right, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I could not keep a straight face during that intro, man. How long did that take you to come up with that?
Come up with which?
The whole intro, man. I was laughing with the shamey and the plethora of all.
Oh, geez. I don't know. I just kind of threw that up there.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, Canadians and their pronunciations, the shaming, the larynx
right.
And the...
Right.
So, Pox, how was your 4th of July weekend?
I was kind of uneventful, which was okay, but my... family was out of town, so I was a bit of a bachelor for a few days, and just played some time getting some alts leveled up. I hit 85 on my first alliance tune, so that's kind of interesting. Still playing on that side of the world is a lot different, but
I'd say grats, but I don't know if I'd really mean it because it's alliance.
You don't mean it.
No, I don't think that I do.
No, there's some. It's mostly there's some cool people that I've met via Twitter and whatnot that I get to play with, and it is fun just to see things over there. They insist on calling it heroism, whatever that's about. Sounds like the little school bell dings and all the kindergartners get to go out for recess, but you know, I guess the mechanic works the same.
I think Anne Stickney said it best, ogres gargling Listerine. That's the best.
Yes, that was very well.
Yep, I'll take the ogres with the Listerine.
I spent most of the 4th of July watching over my kitten, who was scared to death. It was her first, and she was freaking out. She was hiding out of the place.
Well, yeah, it actually wasn't as loud here as I remember the last few years. A lot of people start setting off stuff about 3 or 4 days in advance, and you hear it real late at night, and you know, it's going and going and going. And I think with all the fires here in Colorado, people are a little more conscious of that, and we're not as quick to go setting stuff off in their backyard.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had a huge haze that whole day. That we must have had a mile visibility in any direction. It was so hazy.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
Wow.
Well,
let's get into it. What do you got here for us first?
Yeah, well, we got a listener email, and it's a pretty good one. This is kind of what we're into and what we're about. So anybody that's super elite listening to this, take this with a grain of salt. But let's go ahead and tackle this one. I'll get this one. This one is from O a Dragon Girl on Twitter. All right. So the comment on Twitter was, I'm not even geared enough for Hour of Twilights, and she hides. So I asked her to elaborate on it, and she sent us an email, and it goes a little something like this. I suck. I really like playing WoW, but I'm just not good at it. In recent Kata heroics and Ahun runs, I run around 8,000 DPS. If I'm lucky, it's usually between 6 and 8,000. I know I need better gear, and to do that, I need to get my butt into heroics to get valor and judgment points. I don't raid with my gear, but I'd like to go on a run now and then, either through the Looking for Raid or some other pug type thing. I've never even killed the Lich King. I've gone to Elitist Jerks to find out about what kind of changes I can make to my rotation, and have consulted other sites about improvements for my gear. I'm not sure what else I can do. I don't need to be topping DPS, and I don't want to be a hardcore raider. I just don't want to embarrass myself. Now, she asked us not to mention her character's name, so we're not going to do that, but she is Horde, and that is your first step to being awesome. All right, got that?
Yes. Yes.
Sounds all right.
It's all downhill from there.
Absolutely. All right. So, once again, we're going to go into some stuff. We do have some experience with Rhett Paladins. Jeez, I almost said Rhett Shaman. Gee.
That's a little weird.
Nice. Yeah. Oh. They all run together after a while, huh?
Yeah, I have no experience in that. I'll be honest. None whatsoever.
Right. He's got experience in Rhett Shaman. Okay,
right,
so...
Right. Not even that.
All right, now, a Dragon Girl, we're gonna send you some of this stuff in an email so that you can copy and paste some of this stuff and look at it later. But we'll go ahead and dive into this. The first thing I wanted to check out after checking out your character on a couple of places, I would advise the first step we need to do is you want to go to Ask Mr. Robot and plug in your character, and you're going to load it, and it's going to show you what you've currently got going on. Then you're going to hit an optimize button, and it'll give you a new tab that'll show you everything that you should be doing, and you can kind of go back and forth between what you have currently equipped and look at the suggestions that it's telling you. What I can see is there are a lot of reforges you need to do. I didn't see a single reforge on there, and there is a lot you can gain from it, quite a bit. Your enchants and your gems looked pretty decent. There's a couple of tweaks you can make, but mostly those reforges gotta get done. It's not too expensive. It's much cheaper than paying an enchanter to enchant your stuff and buying enchanting mats to reforge. So that would be the first easy budget option that I would suggest.
Let me ask you a quick question here. In terms of Ask Mr. Robot, you had gotten an article put out a little while back that was kind of a step-by-step thing that was kind of documenting the how-to with Ask Mr. Robot. So I wanted to make sure we included that so we could either get that sent over to her or post it up on our site as well. But and with Ask Mr. Robot, that only takes into account what you have at the time, right? That's not going to... And if you get any upgrades or anything, you're kind of going to need to go back and look at your gear, if I understand that correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. And at Oa Dragon Girl's... Our Girl Dragon. Ooh, Oa Girl Dragon. My goodness. Let's just say Girl Dragon. At the current gear level that you're at, Mr. Robot is only giving you suggestions for five mans, not raids. So you're going to have to keep this in mind. Once your gear levels go up, it'll then start suggesting raid level tweaks that you can make once you're up at that level. Now, and yes, when you get new gear, you're definitely going to have to go back and check it. If you just get one piece, it's probably not going to be that big a deal. If you get two pieces, you know, the more upgrades you're going to get over time, the more you should go back and check it. But yes, in mention of the article that I wrote, it was an instruction set for Ask Mr. Robot. It was a way I needed guildies to, at least some guildies. It kind of stemmed from that. What actually started it was an interview with the Ask Mr. Robot devs on the Convert to Raid podcast, and they were talking about, you know, the site was confusing a long time ago. Then they had a graphical makeover, so it was a little bit easier to use, but they didn't know how to incorporate it. So I had written up a pictorial example step by step of how a new person can go in and benefit from the information they can get from Ask Mr. Robot. And we're not trying to pimp out Ask Mr. Robot entirely. There's lots of resources you can go to. And we're going to mention several. This is just the first one we happen to start out on. Just because we're trying to start you out on the right path. We'll get you going.
Kind of a one-stop shop too. You know, you're able to go to one place, plug in your information, and it'll show you from, you know, to your gems, to your enchants, to your reforging. It kind of shows you a lot of the major things that you need to address right at one site. You don't need to go to several different places to try and figure it out.
Right. And, Ask Mr. Robot's going to tell you, the first thing you're going to notice is it's going to tell you you're going to be reforging into some hit, I believe, and a lot of mastery. And mastery is going to be really good for you as a Ret Paladin, because you're going to get damage back from that through your other abilities. Mm-hmm. The next thing, talent points. There's really just two talent points that I could really find that I would suggest moving into Eye for an Eye. I would suggest moving 1 point out of Divinity and 1 point out of Acts of Sacrifice. Move those into Eye for an Eye. It's free damage. It's not a ton, but it's free damage that you don't have to worry about doing. It just has a chance to do. The next thing, yeah, the talents are pretty good. Next thing on the list is glyphs.
Yeah, we did, like Hope said, we were looking at your armory there just to see where you were, kind of how you were laid out, and it looks like your prime glyphs are all real good. With the major glyphs, there's about 6 different viable ones that you can use, I believe, and they're really, really kind of preferential, you know, what you think may suit you best. The only one I think that we had seen that I had differed from you was I used the Lay of Hands on instead of the Rebuke. I think the Rebuke either, what did it do? It gave you a cheaper or a free interrupt, and the Lay of Hands reduced the cooldown of your kind of panic button self-heal there. So for me, the self-heal came in a little more handy being in a raid environment or you know, even in five mans, you know, you kind of run a lot of pugs where you really want to kind of look out for yourself a little bit. I think the other one was the Hammer of Wrath, was that you could actually stun, you could trade that out for the Holy Wrath, which the Holy Wrath will stun elementals and dragonkin as well as undead. So it's definitely a preferential thing. Nothing that's going to be a game changer for you at all there. If you don't do a lot of interrupts, then you may look at trading out that Rebuke for something else. If you do and you find it straining on your mana pool, then definitely then hang on to it. So it's not going to be a huge deal at all there. I think that was it for glyphs. I think, as far as talent points and glyphs, everything looked pretty good. There's not going to be a whole lot of game-changing things that you need to do in those categories.
Right. One of the big key things for a proc based DPS, which I don't have any experience with ret paladins. This is all Rob. But I do have experience with Fire Mage, and everything I see about ret pallies just kind of reminds me of Fire Mages and waiting for those procs to do the right thing. And I'm sure, just as with Fire Mages, there is some habits that you probably have to keep an eye out for.
Oh, definitely, yeah. In terms of a ret pally, and in terms of your priority and the things that you want to keep up, I mean, one of the main things that you want to do is keep up your Inquisition, and that is Inquisition is a skill that uses holy power to kind of put a buff on yourself, and it increases your holy damage by 30% while it's active. So one of the main things that you do, you go in and you'll do your Crusader Strike or your Divine Storm, like your two main, either your AoE attack or your single target attack, and that'll generate a holy power, and you'll want to spend that on your Inquisition right away so you can get that buff up and going right away. Other than that, you want to just keep up your priority, and if you're looking at single target damage, you're going to always want a Crusader Strike. If you're looking at four or more targets, then you're going to do the Divine Storm for the AoE strike. So that's kind of the two main things that are going to get you up and going. You're looking at a lot of heroics, and a lot of five-mans these days don't have four or more targets at a time. So you end up, even in a situation where there's two or three guys, you still approach it with a single target mindset.
So what you're saying is, okay, so the first thing she's going to do when she jumps into a fight, no matter if it's AoE or single target, she's going to get one holy power, activate her Inquisition, just to get the buff rolling. Yep. And I'm assuming the more holy power you have, the longer the buff lasts, right?
Yeah, it goes in increments of 12 seconds. So, you can have up to 3 holy power that you generate on your...
Right, so just get the 12-second up first, and then you can worry about having a longer Inquisition buff. Once you have the first one up, then you can worry about the longer buffs later.
Yep, it might proc. You can go ahead and hit it and get the full 36 seconds out of it. You know, something else will happen. You know, this the main thing you want to get it up and running right away.
All right, and you kind of already covered approaching it from an AoE or a single target stance. As far as the meters go, cheat the meters. I mean, you've run a dungeon enough times, you know that the next pull is going to be a big pull. I know I do this on when I'm having fun.
You are the pro at this on your mage. Nobody cheeses the meters better than you on your mage.
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No one does it better.
Well, here's the thing with ret pally. You get a couple of cooldowns that are pretty big cooldowns. You get Avenging Wrath, which is the wings, and you get a Guardian of the Ancient Kings. Now, Avenging Wrath is a 2-minute cooldown. You can use that on almost every pull, every other pull.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Get in there and use
that. Quick.
Yeah, use that right away. Get in there, tear that up. You know, people have some sort of focus thing where they save their cooldowns for boss fights. And if you're looking at a 5-man dungeon and you look and you think, okay, you know, the average dungeon, let's just say 30 minutes, right? So you go in and you'll say, okay, over the course of 30 minutes, I could use that 15 times. That's a 20% damage increase. And the Guardian of the Ancient Kings is a 5-minute cooldown. You can use that 6 times. And that guy comes in and does his... You know, he fights alongside you and does a huge damage buff with you as well. So, I mean, use those cooldowns. Use them at your discretion. You know, if you know that there's a big AoE pull coming up, go ahead and wait till the next pull. But keep that stuff rolling. That's just huge numbers, and it really, we call it cheesing the meters, but it's a DPS and it knocks things out faster, and it's fun too. That's the whole point of it, is fun. Go in there and destroy it and look awesome. Look like a pro.
And when you get to a raid level, once you're ready for that, it'll pay off. It really will, especially when you get unexpected ads or anything like that in a raid environment, or if ads are coming in waves and then you have to, you know, switch from ads to a boss, that type of thing, it'll help to be in that practice where you can switch gears like that. So it as easy as five mans are, it can still be a way to either practice for raiding or just keep in the habit of switching mentalities really quick. Now, as far as switching between single target and AoE, I know paladins have a lot of buffs that they can swap in and out. Is there is there anyone in particular that you want to swap out before doing either single target or AoE?
This starts getting into the point where it takes a lot more practice and a lot more of an awareness. But you know, you're gonna go into any dungeon initially, and depending on who else is in there with you, you're gonna get up your blessing. So you get either Blessing of Kings or Blessing of Might. Blessings do not stack. Druids have their buff, their might, and it does not stack with Kings. So if you see another druid in there, then you want to do Blessing of Might. If there's no one else, no other druid or paladin, then go ahead and do Blessing of Kings. That's what I normally do. In terms of swapping out in the middle of a fight, you have different seals that kind of give you a little personal buff. So if you're in a single target situation, you want to keep on your Seal of Truth. And another huge benefit to the Seal of Truth, besides the single target damage that it's helping you with, is it also you glyph that to get 10 expertise out of it, and that helps you hit that expertise cap a lot easier as well. If you're bouncing back and forth between single target and AoE pulls, Seal of Truth for single target, Seal of Righteousness for AoE. And the Seal of Righteousness does AoE damage, little burst damages to the mobs around you. So once you get comfortable doing that, even in the middle of pools, we were doing trash tonight on Yorsaj, and you go down and the three slimes are, the groups of three slimes, and I run in there and I start with the Seal of Righteousness to get those little AoE bursts going on, and then as we knock one out or knock two out, then I'll swap it over real quick to Seal of Truth to get that. It's a little bit of a min-maxing, but it's a good habit to get into if you're really wanting to get the most out of it.
Great. And obviously the 10 expertise is not going to be a big deal on trash, because it's not a boss level and it's not needed as much.
Right, yeah. Right. So,
all right. Well, I think there are some add-ons that might be helpful keeping track of all this nonsense. Maybe some macros too. And we've got a list of them here.
Let me address one thing real quick. I know we had talked about looking her up on the armory and things that she could do initially to help out. I believe her item level was 351.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and that means you're 2 points away from being able to get into the Hour of Twilight heroics. And I just want to say, the Hour of Twilight heroics, at this point in the game, even in a bad pug, are 100 times easier than any of the previous Kata heroics. If you have any justice points, if you have any valor points at all, to pick up a relic, to pick up a ring, to pick up anything, even if you decide to go ahead and buy a crafted piece of 377 PvP gear just to put you up over that edge, the sooner you can get into those Hour of Twilight heroics, you're gonna gear yourself up much faster, because the only thing that drops out of those runs are 378 epic gear. So the sooner you can get in there, it's gonna be free upgrades left and right and left and right, and the runs are a lot easier too, in my opinion.
There's also the buyable Valor gear as well. Boots is one of them, isn't it? Because I think
bracers and boots. Yep.
Yeah, so I think she had a set of blue boots on, so even a purchase of the 397 Valor boots would put her over 353 easily.
Yeah, or if anybody in your guild is willing to help out, I don't know how tight you are with them, but if anybody wants to throw you some boots or bracers,
By purchase, we mean with gold or somebody willing to give it to you, but not with the valor points, because they're bind on equip, so they're tradable.
Yeah.
So one of the first things in the add-on macro suggestions I wanted to bring up was, when I was playing the Fire Mage with the Incata, With the changes to fire, you've got your pyroblast proc, and I don't know how many times I would be totally zoned out, just lobbing fireballs, waiting for my pyroblast crit. Then I would accidentally hit pyroblast while I'm just doing my thing, and then halfway through it, I notice, ah, crap, I'm casting pyroblast. I'm not using my free instant proc. I'm actually casting it, and by that time, 3 seconds has gone by, and I'm thinking, well, I may as well just finish casting the darn thing, because it'll take just as long to stop and start casting a fireball. So it was really annoying me. So what I ended up doing was making a super easy macro so that I could not cast pyroblast unless I had the free proc for it. And this, I'm saying this because I had shown this to Rob, because he was talking about exorcism. And which apparently suffered the same thing. You get a proc for a free exorcism that's instant cast, or I don't know if it's free, but it's instant at least. But you would accidentally catch yourself hitting it, thinking you had a proc for it when it was a proc for something else, maybe.
Yeah, there's so many bells and whistles that go off that you really kind of end up. I do a lot of mashing, a lot of keyboard mashing, and a lot of there's all kinds of mashing going on. So, yeah, you'd be tearing it up, and then all of a sudden you'll see your cast bar going off, and I'm like, ah, come on, you know. So, yeah, that stop cast macro is great because there's probably count on one hand, not one finger, how many situations you actually want a hard cast exorcism. You know, like maybe on Marchok, where you got to run and stand behind the stones. You know, when you're in a distance situation and you can't reach the boss, but he's still within distance of you. You know, those kind of situations. Maybe it's very expensive too, so you really don't want to hard cast it. So yeah, the stop casting macro is great when it procs. You know, I hit it, and if it's an instant cast, it will work. If it's not an instant cast, that macro will cut it off and allow you to continue the other moves that you're using.
Yeah, and this macro is super easy. It's basically 3 lines long. I mean, you could add more to it for icons and stuff like that, but the actual functioning part of the macro is only 3 lines. The first line is slash stop cast. Second line is slash cast exorcism. And the third line is slash stop cast. And it basically stops you from casting it.
Stop cast is all one word, right?
Yeah. And it basically stops you from casting it ever, except if it's instant cast, and in which case it'll just work if it's instant. And that, if you're not using exorcism, you should be when you have a freebie.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a dot on it too, so it's free. Yeah.
Great. And if you're having problems with accidentally casting it when it's not an instant cast, then this will alleviate some of that problems.
Yeah, that's a good one.
One of my favorite add-ons for melee classes is this is a super, super simple add-on. It doesn't take up any space anywhere, but it's called Red Range. And the reason why I like this is when I was playing my enhancement, Shamey, I noticed when a tank, you know, tanks are very good at walking backwards because they're always trying to get groups of people in front of them, and as tanks would be doing this, you're constantly having to edge up to a mob to keep up with it, and sometimes the movement is so small you don't notice it, and the only indicator that there is right now, with the default interface anyway, is the little numbers on your action bars. The number itself will turn red, and that's about it. And the number's pretty small. It's up in a little corner, and just, you know, it's kind of difficult to notice. What Red Range will do is it'll highlight the entire button red. You can still see through it. It's still transparent. You can still see the spell icons and the number on your action bar. It just turns the icon completely red so that it catches your attention much easier that, oh, he's out of range now. It was an attention grabber for me and allowed me to notice much easier in those little situational areas where a tank would be, you know, inching backwards to make sure the mobs are in front of him, because that's what they have to do, especially when mobs come from the side and all everything. So that's a good that is a great melee add-on just to help you get closer attention to when things are getting out of your melee range. You definitely want to be hitting stuff all of the time anyway, so that's one of my top recommendations for melee classes.
I don't have that one. I'm downloading it right now as we speak.
Yeah, that one's great. It was part of a UI package I used, and I totally forgot about it. And doing the show notes here, Hoof and I were talking about it, and I was glad because I went and grabbed it. It was yesterday or the day before. So, yeah. And this one actually, if I remember correctly, it's not on. You can't get it via curse. You have to grab it off of WoW interface or. Or if you just Google it and look it up. Yeah, so if we remember, we can include that in the show notes as well, a link to that. So.
Oh, you are right. I just loaded up my curse and did a search, and it's not here.
Yeah, okay. I got it off a WoW interface and just installed it manually. So it's...
Put it in the show notes so I don't forget.
All right.
All right. And some other add-ons. This one... is either built in or you can get one specifically for it. There are built-in auras in WoW. You'll have to go into your interface options under auras and enable them. That will alert you when you get certain procs so that you can use them right away. It's not super extensive. If I recall, it maybe only alerts you to two or three things, and it's kind of the same for most classes, and it doesn't give mm-hmm. you know. But it'll help you at least give you a little bit of an edge. If you're really familiar with it or would like to track all kinds of different things, I recommend using Power Auras. And this is quite an extensive add-on. It's kind of intimidating the first time you look at it, but once you set up one spell, it's very easy to figure out how to set up any spell. You can choose your own icons. You can choose the own color of your icons and where they appear. If you don't like where the default game's auras are placed, for example, like I have most of my auras, I just have them right above my action bar, where I have them all in a line, so they're not crowding around my character because I don't want them blocking things that I want to look at. So I just have them lined up at the bottom and they pop up, and you can even put timers on there, like how long you have left on your defensive cooldowns or your damage increasing buffs, those types of things. So you can know, oh, you know, I've got 5 more seconds left, and I'm just going to start cruising with these abilities and just unload everything I have.
Yeah, and with the Inquisition one, that's really nice, because that you want to keep that up, so like mine, I've got it set up to, I've got a little aura that shows me when it is up, and then Hoof reminded me to go in and put the little timer by it too, so I can say, oh, I've got 20 seconds left, I have 3 holy power, I don't need to spend those on Inquisition, I can spend those on something else instead.
Right. And an alternative, if you're not used to power auras, an alternative to power auras is an add-on I looked up. I haven't used this, but it seems like it would be a good alternative. It's called Tell Me When. It looks like it does mostly the same things that Power Aura does. I know another guild member was using this add-on and eventually migrated to Power Auras once he figured out exactly what he wanted to see, rather than what Tell Me When would tell him. But out of the box, I think Tell Me When is going to be very easy. It looks like it's going to be very easy out of the box. I don't know. Maybe some listeners can give us some feedback on that later on the website and leave a comment about it. Another great aura add-on, and I use this one in combination with Power Auras, is an add-on called Inline Auras.
And
this is another aura add-on that does not take up any more space on your GUI. It puts, whenever I'm tanking, I'll often go into cat form and do other things, or what this will do for me is if I go into cat form during a tank swap or something, what it'll do is if I have an effect with the bleed on it, whenever I use that ability, it puts a countdown number on that spell button. So at a glance, I can see, oh, I already had that applied. I don't need to apply it again. If it's an ability that uses a combo point, it'll show me how many combo points I have. And if I already have an effect, like a bleed effect, on it. I'm assuming it does the same thing for rep pallies, where it'll count how many holy power you have and show you that number on the spell icon on your action bar, and if you have a timer left on it too. Does it not?
Holy power is a little bit different. It's really similar to combo points, but not generated quite the same way. There's a few holy power trackers out there. I don't generally use one because I have a power aura set up for it, and where I have my avatar placed on the screen, I can see them very easily, right, you know, just below my tune. So, but yeah, it does. It'll show you the dot on exorcism. It'll show you the remaining time on inquisition. You know, it'll show you any of the other, you know, the cooldown, the, you know, any of your other skills. Like if you have, like I said, a dot attached to it, that's counting down, so you know, don't need to spend that point there. I can put it somewhere else. So yeah, it's really great. Hand, you were gonna say?
Yeah, I do think it does put the amount of holy power you do have on the button. Just in my holy spec, I can see that whether I have two charges of holy power. Right on the abilities that use it for my heals. So I'm pretty sure that's inline aura doing it. If not, it's something else. But
right.
I do.
Word
have
of
that.
Glory uses holy power, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So when I see if I've got one, two, or three on there.
You know what? I think, yeah, you're right. It does. I know. I remember now because there's a couple of really heavy hitting DPS skills that I look down and it'll show one, two, or three on there as you're charging it up. So.
Yeah.
And inline auras, like I said, it puts it right on the actual icon button on your action bar, so it doesn't, again, it's not something that's going to be up on your screen taking up even more space. It's all very consolidated, and it works with red range too, so if you're out of range, it doesn't, all of these add-ons work together. You can see if you're out of range how much holy power you have and all this kind of stuff. In combination with that,
probably my single, like, one of my top three favorite add-ons in the game is Inline Auras. Straight out of the box, you don't have to do anything to it, and it works on every single class. No matter what you're playing, no matter what's going on, it is seamless. I've never had a problem with it. It's an amazing add-on.
Yeah, I really do like it. I'm glad I found that one. And lastly,
Didn't Hind find that one?
I probably did. Now that you mentioned it, I think I might have.
That's true. That's right. Hind finds all these.
Yes.
That's...
Yep. I do. I totally do.
This one's an oldie but a goodie. It's been around for ages, and I've been using it for as long as I can remember that I've been using add-ons, is Omni Cooldown Count.
Mm-hmm.
When you're using abilities, the default interface has kind of like a little radial timer, but it's kind of like a fade effect. So if you have an ability on cooldown, it's just kind of like faded out a little bit, and then as it becomes available, it has kind of a radial dial from the center that, and I'm making the motions with my fingers here like a clock, like a dork. it slowly comes back into full opacity, and whenever your cooldown's ready. I find these very annoying, and it was difficult, especially if you have several side by side, to know just which one was going to be ready first, especially when they were longer cooldown actions. So on the cooldown count, we'll put the actual number in addition to the radial dial in the background, so you know exactly when something's going to be ready to use it, and you can just know right off the bat, if you can count, when you look at your action bar, which one's going to be the one that's going to be ready first.
Yeah, it's great, especially and with rep pally, it's really nice. You have a lot of your big skills, they have like 4-second cooldowns rather than just a regular global cooldown. A lot of your stuff is instant cast, but they all have different cooldown times, so you can really just see at a glance. You can, besides the fact that everything's proccing and you're never really sure what's going to happen, you still can try and plan ahead to try and figure out what you're going to do next and where you want to put your next, you know, spend your next holy power or what move you want to do next.
I should have talked about this when we did ask Mr. Robot. There is an add-on called Reforginator. If Ask Mr. Robot's a little overwhelming, you can use an add-on called Reforginator. And this essentially does almost the exact same thing. I've tried it over several characters, and there's a couple times where I get the same suggestions between Ask Mr. Robot and Reforginator, and then other times I get on a different class, I'll get different suggestions between the two. But the point is in the situation that you're at now, this is still going to be better than doing nothing, following either of these suggestions. But, you know, if using this add-on is easier because it's all in-game, it's all contained, you don't have to alt out, or, you know, if you have dual monitors, that's great. But you don't have to alt around and do stuff if you have this add-on. You can just go to it, tell it, you know, you can have it suggest. There's a little drop-down menus, like, I want you to tell me reforges for 5-man or for raids, and for what specs you want to reforge into. And then it'll list everything. And then you just go to the reforge guy. And I think you can, if you have the reforge window open, you just click on the suggestion in the add-on, and it'll plug it into the reforge guy for you, and then all you have to do is confirm, you know, the 10 or 20 gold that it costs to reforge. So
yeah, it's really like 3 little drop downs. It actually shows, it's a very tiny little window. It shows all your gear right there, and you choose the piece of gear that you want, and then it doesn't actually do the reforge for you. It just tells you mastery to crit, crit to expertise, you know, whatever it is. And then you at the reforge guy, you just tick the ones that you want from the recommendation.
And again, for the people out there that are gritting their teeth that, oh my goodness, Ask Mr. Robot's horrible, or oh my goodness, Reforginator's bad. these things are there to help people, just like a girl dragon.
It's not min-maxing at all, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's as close as you can get without really, really getting crazy about it. And it's a great start, and I mean, this will easily get you at least gear prepared for 5-mans, and then when you get the gear out of the 5-mans, you can be gear prepared for looking for raid, and then, you know, it'll you just keep referring to that add-on. When you get enough new gear, just refer to it again, go back and reforge those things, and it'll perpetuate. And eventually, you know, you still get, I haven't used anything higher than Ask Mr. Robot, and we're doing Dragon Soul normal, full clears every week, very easy, no problems, unless we have lots of drunk people.
unless Thrall doesn't do his job and help you over to the next platform.
Yeah, right. Thrall does not like to be helpful sometimes. Especially when he drops the priest in the water and he's the only one that can grab people out of it.
So yeah. the thing with these reforging, like Ask Mr. Robot and Reforginator, the thing with those is you have a certain half a dozen stats on it on every character, and these stats kind of hold a different priority. So depending on what spec and what you're in, you know, some of them mean little to nothing to you. So you pick up a new piece of gear and you're really excited, and you got some pants that have mastery and crit on them, and haste, and you go, and unless you're doing a lot of homework and looking into it, you know, you're not really sure what's most beneficial to you, you know. So haste doesn't really help out a Rat Pally a whole lot. So what it does is it looks at your gear as a whole and just says, all right, here's what you want to do. We're going to get you to hit cap. We're going to make some quick changes. We're going to get your mastery up. We're going to get you to the best that you can do with this gear just at a glance. So it's real, you know, it's not min-maxing at all. It's real just kind of what can we do real quick just to make it better, you know. And like you said, a lot of people don't care for them. A lot of people don't like these utilities. They are, I personally think they're great, 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 great tools for average casual players that are just wanting to have fun and get better.
Yep. And if you are an average or a casual player, this will at least get you on the right path to being a better player, mm-hmm. because it will at least give the character that you're playing a solid foundation to start on. And from there on out, it's going to take practice. It's going to take, you know, you still have to learn to look out for those procs that, you know, you might be missing, or the exorcism that you're accidentally hard casting instead of waiting for that proc. You know, all of those things, that's going to come with practice. But at least these things will give you a good foundation to start on, rather than standing in the mud trying to run. You're going to get a nice solid ground to take off with.
And she mentioned looking at elitist jerks. That's a hard place to start off. And yeah, it's hard to go and look. There's a lot of very educated people there, a lot of theory crafting and math, and you know, there's just a lot of complicated stuff going on. This will just give it to you in small, very easy to use doses. And if you're not interested in knowing the details behind it, you can still get the most out of it. So it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, Levi-Strauss is very, very difficult to get through.
Yeah, that's and if you sure. accidentally look at a previous patch's suggestions and you're not paying attention and you're like, oh yeah, this is what I got to do, and then you go in game and you do all this stuff because you just read it on Elitist Jerks, and then you're like, why isn't this working? Oh well, they changed everything because they did something in a patch that made something do something else. And
right,
yeah.
Did you like my completely generic example?
They did something that made something else do this one thing. Gosh, oh, dang man. It, Elitist Jerks.
All right, so listeners, if you also have some suggestions that we missed for Oh, a Girl Dragon, please go ahead and comment on the site. We're all here to help. You know, we're giving our 2 cents for her. And remember, she's starting out 6 to 8K. We're trying to take baby steps. We're not trying to take her from 6 to 8K 351 item level straight into heroic rating
right,
tactics, right. You know, so keep that in mind when you're leaving your comments. These are just introductory. Let's get you started, see if we can't double that DPS a little bit. Shouldn't be too hard to double it with a little bit of practice.
Yeah,
mostly just keeping an eye out on those procs and making sure you're using those abilities when they land.
Yeah, and a good place to practice as well as in all the cities is use training dummies. You know, they're in the city. They're there to be used, not just us, but the ones in game. You know, our namesakes, they're there for a reason. It's so you can practice all these before you go into a group. So you can see what you need to do, know when to watch for the procs, know when you want to be casting certain abilities and all that. So the tools are there. You just need to use them.
Yeah, and you can practice running back and forth from the single target guy to the group target dummies, and practice switching back from your AoE to your single target, and just going back and forth between that, and then you'll be able to apply that when you're jumping into a five man, and you'll know, you're like, oh yeah, okay, I know that there's going to be four or five people here. Let me switch on over to Q Rob for the name of abilities.
Divine Storm. Consecration.
Consecration.
Indeed. Like they said, just any suggestions that you have. If I was totally off base on something and you guys think no, you should AoE more, and you know, send an email in, hit us up on Twitter, you know, or leave a comment on the site. We'd love to get the information in there. The more that we know, the more that we can offer you guys too.
All right. Well, on that note, prepping for heroics and jumping into five mans and all this Hour of Twilight talk, on Twitter we had a request from the Dark Moon Herald. The request is, for the good of the community, please emphasize the strats for Queen Ashara and using the hourglass.
For the good of the community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
You know, as funny as this is, okay, I know we said that the Hour of Twilights are easier than the other ones, and I completely agree. There's 2 points that I still see people do it all the time. If you're in End Time, the last boss of End Time is Morozond. It's Nazadormu all rearranged. The aspect of time. Just because he tells you it will do you no good doesn't mean you should listen to him. Just like most antagonists, their monologue is always going to deny that what you're doing is successful. You've got to get someone to click on that hourglass. Be proactive about it. If you've never done it, volunteer. It's easy. If you're the only ranged... Yes, even if you're a healer, you need to do it. Now,
as the healer, that's huge. Yeah,
yeah. I'm always doing it. I don't know if I. Well, the only times I have it, I think, is when I go enhance on my shaman. That's about it. It's very easy. Yes, my shimmy.
It takes 2 seconds to ask, and a lot of people, you know, you get a lot of people get all upset, you know, oh, or I'll do it, or, you know, somebody will usually say, who has it? Or somebody will say, I've got it. But just try and make it clear ahead of time, because if no one says anything, no one's going to do it. And I see that all the time. You know, yeah, I'm over there just, in melee or tanking range, and no one's doing anything. And you're like, hit it.
And just a reminder, that boss does not aggro until you hit him. So you can get everybody in place and just be standing around and waiting to, you know, you can have a discussion. And you know, figure out who's gonna do it. Even if you're ranged, this is how we always did it in guild. Is everybody, even if you're ranged, melee, and everybody, they all gather up at the dragon, and then when the fight starts, as he starts putting down the little AoE spots in the ground, the range just slowly back up, and then when there's enough AoE on the ground that they can't do anything, they're already at the hourglass because they've simply just backed up until they were there, because they only put the AoE on the ground where you're currently standing. So you don't want to start out at the hourglass, because then you're just gonna cover it all in AoE damage and possibly die when you try to click it. So it's easier just to back your way up to the hourglass.
A good rule of thumb too for clicking it is try on the 20%. I think if you do it every 20, like 80 60 40 20, you'll have one left over that you can hit at 10, because what the hourglass does is resets all your cooldowns. So you should be blowing all of your cooldowns as soon as you can. Every single one you got.
I kind of watch my defensive ones a little bit more for when I need them, but yeah, any sort of cooldown that you got, Bloodlust, whatever Alliance calls it.
Yeah, if you're a druid, use your... Yeah. If you're healing like a druid, use your tree form, you know, all these.
Before raid tonight, I ran that on my pally in Rhett, and I was just wanting to see what I could pull off, and I was over 50k for most of the fight. I think I ended up at like 47 or 48 when it was all said and done. But yeah, burn everything and just go, you know.
This was a good time. I was taking my warrior tank, and I decided I was going to DPS, and so I'm in there, and there was a hunter, a mage, and a healer, and there was me and the tank, and I'm sitting there on my warrior, I'm chomping away, and I notice that it's getting about time that the hourglass should be getting clicked, and nobody's clicking it. There's three ranged. None of them. They were all over the place. There was one on the complete other side of the dragon, one on the behind the tail, one over by the head, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Thank goodness for heroic leap, man. I had to leap over to the glass and click it.
Excellent. Oh, geez. Yeah, and that reset will put you back. It takes a snapshot of the fight before you, like the second before you start it. So when you click that hourglass, it resets you to your position as well, which is another really important thing that you want to be in a good place. Because I've had people start that fight, and I was way, way back over behind the hourglass. And every time it reset, my dude ran way back over there, and then I had to make my way back over to the... Yeah. Yeah, and as a melee, that's not cool.
No, not at all. And yeah, the next request... Oh. Go for it.
Well, you said like your warrior had the heroic leap. A paladin as well can use their divine shield and run right through all the poo on the ground to hit the hourglass. I do that plenty. A lot of times I'm just not by the hourglass when I need to hit it. I pop my divine shield and I can run straight through everything to it without taking any extra damage.
And of course, it'll reset the divine shield after.
And you get that in any spec too, so you don't really, you know, if you're red or heals, you can do it.
Yeah, so you'll have that cooldown back as soon as you hit the hourglass. It's great. Mm-hmm.
So come on, people. Just click the hourglass. Come on. All right, next up, a request from Dark Moon Herald was the Well of Eternity, Queen Ashara. Ashara, in interrupting her total obedience, this chick digs dominance. You can't let her make you the gimp in the box. Interrupt that nonsense and loot the chest. There's lots you can do from almost any role. So
hey,
even if
that?
You're...
Seriously, who wrote that?
That was not me.
It might have been me. I might have wrote that.
I like it. I dig it. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't say all chicks. I just said this chick. This chick digs dominance, and she will make you do what she wants.
The mechanic on this fight is that if you don't interrupt her her skill that she casts called Total Obedience, it will wipe your group. There's no recovering from it. She does a mind control to everyone in the group, and you wipe. So it has to be interrupted.
Yeah, as a tank, what I do is you've got so what's going to happen is when you first engage the six casters, you get two at a time. One of them casts and one of them just kind of follows you around and casts just a little bit, so you can interrupt one and pull them in a little bit closer. And as a tank, what I'll do is I'll try to pull them as close to Queen Ashara as I can, just in case nobody interrupts. You still have time, because what's going to happen is the first thing she's going to do is she's going to puppeteer one guy. I forget what it's called, but she's going to mind control one person. I'll avoid that one. So yes, she controls one person. And
come on now.
I know. Keep it clean. So after that one, then she's gonna do Total Obedience. It really doesn't even matter if you don't have the trash mobs that you have to kill close to her, as long as they're sort of close to her. And you can get an interrupt. Now that's what I'm doing as a tank. As a DPS, I would recommend you should be doing it anyway, trying to interrupt her, especially if you have a ranged interrupt. Save it for Total Obedience. And most healers, there's a couple that don't have the option to, but you can interrupt in most healing, in most most classes with an interrupt. Now, yeah, which ones don't? Which ones don't have it?
Just the priest, I believe.
I spec'd into interrupt on mine.
Did you?
In shadow, I did.
In shadow. But for if you're healing, you don't have that option. No. But I know in shaman, you have a wind shear, 15-second cooldown, 25-yard range. You could easily interrupt that. You know, just focus the boss. If you don't use mouse over macros or something like that and target the boss all the time anyways, you can easily make a focus macro for interrupting. With your paladin, you've got rebuke, which is basically a boot to the head. That you do have to be at melee range, but just position yourself close to the boss. It's not that difficult. And if you're a druid, now this I just learned the other day, just for this episode, I figured just so I knew what I was talking about.
Wait a second, you didn't make this up? You didn't come up with this all by yourself?
No, I did, but it was 2 days ago.
Yep, he made it up 2 days ago.
Exactly. Right. It was never existed before. But you can make a macro that changes you into cat form and does a skull bash. A skull bash is, 13-yard range, I think? So as long as you're within that range while you're healing, you know, close to the boss, you can hit this macro, turn you into a cat, interrupt, and go back to healing. You know, I know when we do these runs with you guys, all three of us have an add-on that tells us, or tells the group, when someone does an interrupt. So I know the three of us are always trying to be the first to interrupt.
Yep.
So that it's
broadcast. We have a metagame in our guild. Oh yeah, yeah. It's like the high score in Pac-Man. It's good practice. Of course, when we're raiding and when we're doing things where we have to plan interrupts, of course we don't go all crazy like this. But yeah, when we're doing five mans, I mean we love interrupts, and it's just a game who can get that first interrupt, and at the end of the run who's got the most interrupts and. It's always pretty fun.
That goes back to what we were saying last week about ways to make things fun that have become boring. You know, and go through and just make it a little competitive. Yeah.
As much a pain in the butt as these two bosses are, for me they're not the hardest bosses for me. I've actually killed in time in a guild group with a pug healer that zoned out. Before we fought the bot, like right as we pulled the boss, he zoned out and we defeated everything, four-manned it with no healer at all. We just had somebody reset in the hourglass, and and Well of Eternity, I'm very hard pressed to miss an interrupt. So even if no one else is going to do it, I know I'm going to do it as a tank. So I mean, if you are an interrupter, if you have an interrupt, just be aware of it and save it. Save it for the Queen of Shara's total obedience. Don't worry about interrupting the little mobs. You know, if you're going to be competitive about it in a guild run, yeah, go for it. But
well, if you're using a deadly boss mod, it'll actually tell you too. You know, it'll alert you like, hey, this needs to be interrupted. You'll get the little trumpet noise and the big red letters. You know, so you get the alert on your screen. Interrupt.
But for sure. Or like Ken said, you could focus the boss, and you'll see the cast bar on the focus screen. Now, personally, I think the hardest bosses in the Hour of Twilights for me is Tyrande, in the, you know, where it's all dark and you got the little light spots.
It's
not because of me, essentially. It's just because it takes people a while to understand the whole thing that goes along the ground and splits up into three things and getting stunned and silence and all that. And that can be very troublesome. And the other
for the
one
healers,
that
mostly,
I,
yeah.
Yeah. And the other one that I think is the hardest is Bane. Mostly because, man, the trash on the way to Bane, you zone in and there's nothing. And you're like, oh, cool, let me just go right down to these little islands. And then as soon as you mount up, you start riding down there, everything appears, and you've just trained like four groups of three mobs on you.
Yeah, that's classic.
But
right there.
That guy's tough because of the whole, you know, jumping on islands, and it's really a pain in the butt when all the ranged are on the same island as the tank, and it gets to be a mess.
Yeah.
Those two are the ones that I think are the most difficult, even though Well of Eternity, the Ashara, I mean, that's an instant wipe if you don't interrupt it. There is absolutely no recovery. That is our good deed for the community. Click that darn hourglass and interrupt Queen Ashara. Everyone will love you for it.
And if you're interested in hearing us talk about any other specific bosses, even old heroic ones, let us know. We'd be happy to. I know we've all spent many a runs on all lots and lots of bosses. So if you're stuck on something, we'd be happy to dig into that a little bit for you.
Yeah, we can give a shout out to the community of WoW who are doing it wrong and help them figure out how to do it right.
Yes.
I guess we should start giving out some shout outs, eh?
Sounds good.
I guess so.
I always want to shout out to our guild Hoarderlies. Everyone in our guild is pretty great, and without them, I probably wouldn't still be playing.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. Big round of hand love for those guys.
Yeah, I'd like to again thank Coltrane for the support and the lending his talents for some of the voiceover work, which we're still working on some of that, but you got to hear it with the intro there, that epic intro.
Absolutely.
And, also want to send a big thanks to Jan Gasm on Twitter. She has a podcast called Something Suggestive, and she gave us a shout-out on her podcast, which was very surprising and very much appreciated.
Yeah, that was out of the blue for us. Completely out of the blue. I was not expecting it. But it is explicit. Cool. If you're going to listen, it is explicit. Just be warned. But
so I shouldn't
enjoy.
Listen to it at work with speakers turned on real
probably
real loud.
Not. Probably
no, not like
that.
I did. No.
And something we forgot to do last show, because quite frankly we didn't really think we had any. We've got some 5-star reviews, and much to my surprise, we've got two of them.
All right. We got one from Keandra here that says, congrats on your new show. Can't wait to hear what this show has to store in the future. Sounds like y'all will be keeping it real. I like the fact that we'll be having different views from different class aspects of the game. Tanks, healies, and deeps. Good luck.
Oh, we got another one here from GirlCurl81. It says, music to my Azerothian ears. If episode 0 is any indication of where this show is heading, then please sign me up for 50-yard line season passes.
Woo!
if you guys listen to the show on iTunes, please go over there and give us a review, because after these two, we've got nothing. So this segment depends on you. And right now, this is it. But still, you know, very much appreciated. Any rating we'll take. Any rating at all, because it lets us know that at least you're listening.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, and if you think you would like to have something else on the show, let us know. It's a very round table, so we're open to discussing just about anything, as long as it's within the kind of focus that we're about.
So I think that about does it for episode 2 of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website at thetrainingdummies.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Training Dummies or subscribe to us on iTunes. If you'd like to ask us some questions, our contact information is on the site, or you can email your questions or an MP3 to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. Thanks for listening.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!